Welcome to the OCR GCSE Physics Revision Podcast. I'm your tutor for today, and in the next 10 minutes, we are going to master one of the most fascinating and frequently examined topics in the entire specification, nuclear power. Whether you are sitting the foundation or higher tier paper, this episode will give you everything you need to earn those marks. So grab a pen, get comfortable, and let's dive in. Section 1, Core Concepts. Let's start with the big picture. Nuclear power is about harnessing the enormous energy locked inside atomic nuclei. There are two fundamentally different ways to release that energy: fission, which means splitting a large nucleus apart, and fusion, which means joining two small nuclei together. Both release colossal amounts of energy, but they work in completely different ways, and examiners love to test whether you can tell them apart. Let's begin with nuclear fission, because this is the process used in every nuclear power station operating today. Fission starts with uranium-235. This is a large, unstable nucleus with 92 protons and 143 neutrons. On its own, it is just sitting there. But here is the key. If a slow-moving neutron comes along and is absorbed by that uranium-235 nucleus, something remarkable happens. The nucleus becomes even more unstable, forming uranium-236 for just a fraction of a second, and then it splits apart. This splitting is called fission. Now, what comes out of that split? Three things, and you need to know all three. First, you get two smaller nuclei called daughter nuclei, or fission fragments. Second, you get two or three fast-moving neutrons. Third, you get a large release of energy, mainly as kinetic energy of those fragments and neutrons, plus gamma radiation. Here is where it gets really clever. Those two or three neutrons that are released can go on to be absorbed by other uranium-235 nuclei, causing them to split as well, releasing even more neutrons, which cause even more fissions. This is called a chain reaction. In a nuclear power station, this chain reaction is carefully controlled so that, on average, exactly one neutron from each fission goes on to cause another fission. This is called a sustained, controlled chain reaction. In a nuclear bomb, by contrast, the chain reaction is uncontrolled and grows exponentially. That distinction is worth knowing. Now, a critical detail that many candidates miss: the neutrons released by fission are fast-moving, but uranium-235 is much more likely to absorb a slow-moving neutron, so we need something to slow those neutrons down. This is the job of the moderator. In most reactors, the moderator is water or graphite. The neutrons collide with the atoms of the moderator and lose kinetic energy, becoming what we call thermal neutrons, slow enough to be absorbed. This is crucial. The moderator slows neutrons down. Write that down and underline it. Now, how do we control the rate of the chain reaction? This is the job of the control rods. Control rods are made of boron, a material that absorbs neutrons very efficiently. By pushing the control rods further into the reactor core, more neutrons are absorbed and the reaction slows down. By pulling them out, fewer neutrons are absorbed and the reaction speeds up. If there is an emergency and the reactor needs to be shut down immediately, the control rods are dropped fully into the core, absorbing almost all the neutrons and stopping the chain reaction. This is called a scram. I want to pause here and make absolutely sure you have the distinction clear, because this is the number one source of lost marks in this topic. The moderator slows neutrons down so they can be absorbed. The control rods absorb neutrons to control the reaction rate, different jobs, different materials, do not mix them up. So how does a nuclear reactor actually generate electricity? The heat produced by fission heats a coolant, which is usually water under high pressure. This hot coolant flows to a heat exchanger, where it heats a secondary circuit of water, turning it into steam. That steam drives a turbine, which spins a generator, which produces electricity. The nuclear part is just the heat source. Everything after that is the same as a conventional power station. Now let's talk about nuclear fusion. Fusion is the process that powers the sun and all stars. In fusion, two light nuclei, typically isotopes of hydrogen called deuterium and tritium, are forced together to form a heavier nucleus, helium, plus a neutron, plus a huge release of energy. Here's the challenge. Both nuclei are positively charged, like charges repel. To get them close enough to fuse, you need to overcome that electrostatic repulsion. The way to do that is to give the nuclei enormous kinetic energy, which means heating the fuel to extreme temperatures. We are talking about temperatures of around 100 million degrees Celsius. At those temperatures, the hydrogen becomes a plasma, a state of matter where electrons are stripped away from nuclei. Fusion releases even more energy per kilogram of fuel than fission, and the fuel, hydrogen isotopes, is far more abundant than uranium. The products are also much less radioactive. So why aren't we using fusion power stations right now? Because containing a plasma at 100 million degrees is extraordinarily difficult. No material can withstand that temperature. So experimental reactors like JET in the UK and ITER in France use powerful magnetic fields to contain the plasma. As of now, no fusion reactor has yet produced more energy than it consumes, but research is ongoing. Section 2. Exam tips and common mistakes. Right, let's talk exam technique, because knowing the physics is only half the battle. Tip number 1. When you are asked to describe a chain reaction, you must be explicit that the neutrons released by one fission are absorbed by other uranium-235 nuclei. Do not just say, the neutrons cause more reactions. Say, the neutrons released are absorbed by other uranium-235 nuclei, causing further fission reactions. That precision is what earns the mark. Tip number 2. A very common mistake is saying that nuclear power stations release carbon dioxide during operation. They do not. The fission reaction produces no carbon dioxide. There are carbon emissions associated with building the plant and mining uranium, but during operation, a nuclear power station is essentially carbon-free. Do not confuse construction emissions with operational emissions. Tip number 3. When describing the products of fission, do not just say energy is released. You must say that kinetic energy is released, and you should mention the daughter nuclei. Use the term daughter nuclei rather than bits or pieces. Examiners specifically credit that terminology. Tip number 4. For fusion, always link the extreme temperature requirement to the need to overcome electrostatic repulsion between the positively charged nuclei. The temperature gives the nuclei enough kinetic energy to get close enough for the strong nuclear force to take over and pull them together. Tip number 5. For 6-mark evaluation questions about nuclear power, you need to consider both advantages and disadvantages. On the advantage side, very high energy density, meaning a small mass of fuel produces enormous energy, no carbon dioxide emissions during operation, reliable baseload power. On the disadvantage side, radioactive waste that remains dangerous for thousands of years, high decommissioning costs, risk of accidents, long construction times. Make sure you make a final judgment at the end of your answer. Tip number 6, know your command words. If the question says state, give a brief factual answer with no explanation needed. If it says explain, you must say why, using the word because to link cause and effect. If it says evaluate, you must consider both sides and reach a conclusion. Section 3, quick fire recall quiz. Time for a quick fire quiz. I'll ask the question, give you 3 seconds to think, then give the answer. Ready? Question 1. What is the function of the moderator in a nuclear reactor? Answer. To slow down fast-moving neutrons so they can be absorbed by uranium-235 nuclei. Question 2. What are the 3 products of a fission reaction? Answer. Daughter nuclei, 2 or 3 neutrons, and energy in the form of kinetic energy and gamma radiation. Question 3. Why are extremely high temperatures needed for nuclear fusion? Answer. To give the nuclei enough kinetic energy to overcome the electrostatic repulsion between the positively charged nuclei. Question 4. What material are control rods made from, and what do they do? Answer. Boron. They absorb neutrons to control the rate of the chain reaction. Question 5. What is the main product of a deuterium-tritium fusion reaction, besides energy? Answer. A helium nucleus plus a neutron. Section 4. Summary and sign-off. Let's wrap up with the key points to take away from today. Number 1. Fission is the splitting of a large nucleus, specifically uranium-235, triggered by the absorption of a slow neutron. It releases daughter nuclei, 2 or 3 neutrons, and energy. Number 2. Those neutrons can trigger further fissions, creating a chain reaction. In a reactor, this is controlled to be self-sustaining. Number 3, the moderator slows neutrons. The control rods absorb neutrons. These are different components with different functions. Do not confuse them. Number 4, fusion joins light nuclei together to form a heavier nucleus, releasing even more energy than fission. It requires extreme temperatures to overcome electrostatic repulsion. Number 5, nuclear power produces no carbon dioxide during operation, but generates radioactive waste and has high decommissioning costs. Number 6. In exam answers, use precise language. Say, daughter nuclei. Say, electrostatic repulsion. Say, kinetic energy. These are the terms that earn marks. You have got this. Nuclear power is a topic where careful, precise language makes all the difference. Revise those definitions, practice those 6-mark answers, and you will be well on your way to full marks. Good luck with your revision, and I'll see you in the next episode.